that story about the sacrifice of Isaac in our first reading, it's difficult, isn't it, for us to hear? Part of the problem is we're hearing the story with 21st century ears. But this happens in 2000 B.C. The world is totally pagan. God has not revealed himself yet. And human sacrifice is practiced throughout the Mideast, often with firstborn sons. So when God calls Abraham to sacrifice his son, Abraham doesn't question it because it's going on all around him. But then in a dramatic way, God stops Abraham's sacrifice. He reveals he doesn't want human sacrifice from his people, from the nation that he's going to start with Abraham. He is not like these other gods and cultures in this totally pagan world. God has higher plans for human life than to see our blood splashed on an altar. And this is a major revelation to Abraham, and it will make the Israelites distinct from the peoples around them. And when we look at the story that way, it isn't so much about Abraham's character, but God's character. The God of Abraham reveals himself as love and generosity, not a God who has to be appeased. He's a God Abraham can trust with his life, a God Abraham can put his faith in. He doesn't question that God will somehow keep his promise to him that he will be the father of a great nation through his son. Abraham came to have that depth of faith and trust in God. I think today this story asks us, have we arrived at that point yet? Do we really believe God is good? Do we really believe God is in charge? Appearances to the contrary? That God will provide for us, take care of us? Do we believe that God is for us, as we heard St. Paul say, and that he wants the best for us, even while we suffer disappointments and life's problems? Do we trust that God has a plan for us, a purpose for us, a bigger picture we don't always see? The story of Abraham today tells us time to take the pulse on your faith. Check your faith. If we can't answer yes to those questions from our hearts, then ask God this Lent for that grace, that strength, that help, so we can get there, so we can trust him and have faith in him like Abraham. If we don't believe that, if we don't think God knows each one of us by name, that he's personal for each one of us, and that we can trust him, this is just a waste of time. I'd like to introduce Joe Mahoney at this point. He's the director of Catholic Charities, or are you CEO? Are you El Presidente? But anyway, you've heard me talk the last couple weeks about the merits of giving to DOF, and I thought it would be good to hear from one of the beneficiaries of those funds. We have that command from God to love our neighbor, and this is our diocese's outreach to do that through Catholic Charities of Puebla. Take it away, Joe.
Father, my title changes based on whether the bathroom is plugged up, or there's a spider in the hallway, or someone saw a roach in the basement. That's when I'm in charge. Otherwise, I've got about 95% of my agency are women. The most part, I just do what I'm told. It works better that way, it really does. You know, the most important thing that I have to say this morning is thank you. Thank you for all of your support for the DMF. Catholic Charities receives $100,000 from the DMF every year, and we appreciate this. The agency budget's just a little bit over $5.3 million, and so you might say, well, why is $100,000 so important? It shows local support. When we go up to Denver or to D.C. and talk about these foundations and say, you know, we want to do this program in Pueblo, one of the first questions they ask is, well, Mr. Pueblo, why should you do that program in Pueblo? Is anyone there locally supporting this? Because we want their buy-in before we give you more money. This $100,000 shows that local support. It shows that we're ready to make this sacrifice. So I appreciate it very much. What do we do with it? Well, our mission is that inspired by God's love, we use a two-generation approach to fight poverty. Poverty is the enemy. So, about 80% of our budget is early childhood education programs for kids 0 to 5. There's 160,000 people thereabouts in Pueblo County. Of that, about 10,000 are between the ages of 0 and 5. Of those 10,000 children, about 25% fall below the federal poverty line. That is dirt poor. That is really, really poor. About 60% qualify for a free or reduced school lunch. That's our target audience. That's 6,000 children between the ages 0 and 5. Right now, we reach about 850. We've got so much more work to do, which is why I'm here to ask for your continued support for the DMF. Sometimes, I think we work best when we listen the most. I spoke recently to one of our parents whose child is doing very well, and he's now in first grade, and I remember talking to you, Father John, about this. I said, you know, our agency hit a home run recently. We have one of our parents is now one of the volunteers in her child's kindergarten class. How is that a home run? Let me tell you, you think that kid's ready for school every morning? You think that child is prepared? That when they go home and they talk more about what is going on in school? We see it in kindergarten, we see it all the way through. These kids take a test in third grade. If they are below proficiency levels in third grade, they don't catch up. They are four times more likely not to graduate from high school. This is why we make so much of an effort for these kids 0 to 5. 85% of brain development happens there. This is where we fight poverty. Education is the best solution. We want to bring these kids, so 850 kids are prepared for school when kindergarten starts. I've got anecdotal evidence. I can't find real proof because I don't think anyone wants to admit this. But teachers will tell you that sometimes it can take them 6 months to get these children caught up to where they think they should be on day one. We want those kids ready to go. We want employers looking at Pueblo and saying, wow, Those are the people we want on our staff. That's our team right there. They came in day one, ready to fix anything we can throw at them. This is how we fight poverty. So, again, thank you for your support.
Well, this is the final push for DMF today. It's our third week. That's really all I should take for it. Actually, the ones that take 3 weeks, but I will cut it off there. But I do need a big push for it. I was trying not to have a panic attack on Friday because I saw we had only reached about 15% of our goals so far. And really only one out of every seven families has made a pledge. So I think I'm going to do something a little different today. I mean, I've been talking about the merits of contributing to DMF. Maybe today I'll just talk economics. But thank you, Joe, again, for giving us another reason to contribute to DMF. But let's put it this way. I said this last year, too, and I just ask you to remember that I am not asking you for more money, okay? I'm not asking for more money. If you force me, I will take it, okay? But I'm not asking for it. I'm just asking you to give differently. Instead of giving us 100% of what you usually give, give us 80%, give 20% to DMF. It makes a difference in what I'm getting at. For every dollar that you give us, we have to give 22.5 cents to the diocese, whether we get it in pledges or not, okay? But when you don't pledge, you chip us, because what's going to happen, they're going to assess us. They're going to get their 22.5 cents out of the dollar, but then they're going to assess us, tax us on that full dollar, even though we only get 78 cents of it. But when you make a pledge, okay, it takes, then we're only going to be assessed on that 78 cents. If everyone would pledge, over the next 3 years, we'd see a 20% reduction in our goal. And I would like to see that, because that's more money that stays here in Christ the King. So there really is value that anyone